I'm Davis Donovan, and I cover news for WSHU Public Radio that sometimes takes me, well, off the path. Staying well-informed is essential to a well-functioning democracy. Understanding facts and filtering out noise takes work, and our mission at WSHU is to help you do that through coverage from our newsroom, NPR News, and the BBC. We're expanding our world together. Thank you for your support.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. UI will not be allowed to put 18-story monopoles in Fairfield County. The governors of New York and Connecticut launch a public health alliance. New York AG Letitia James vows to defend herself over mortgage fraud allegations. Plus, the first ever Latina Raquette shares her story in a new book and speaks to WSHU. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's State Siding Council has rejected a plan to put taller monopoles in Fairfield County. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the decision was celebrated by local officials and community members.
The vote marks a turning point in a years-long saga in Bridgeport, Fairfield, and Southport. United Illuminating will not be allowed to put 18-story tall monopoles along the south side of the Metro North tracks. John Morissette is the council's chair.
We have 3-4 approval, 5-4 denial. The certificate is therefore denied.
United Illuminating will now be forced to refile the project. The stretch of upgrades has been ongoing for nearly a decade. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The governors of Connecticut and New York are launching a so-called public health alliance. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports the group bills itself as a nonpartisan hub to coordinate across state lines and with the global health community.
15 leaders of states and territories have joined so far. All of them are Democrats. The coalition comes amid a partisan battle at the federal level and in some states over access to vaccines and abortions and cuts to public health programs. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said in a statement, members will be able to share expertise and coordinate on public health threats. That's important work, she says, due to the federal government, quote, wreaking havoc on public health and the institutions we rely on. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont said in a statement, it's important for states to, quote, step up amid federal uncertainty and provide residents with the information they need. A Health and Human Services spokesperson told Reuters it was Democrat-led states that destroyed trust in public health during the COVID-19 pandemic. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
New York State Attorney General Letitia James says she's prepared to defend herself against fraud charges brought by the Federal Justice Department. She's accused of falsely claiming that she intended to live in a home in Virginia, which got her a lower interest rate on a mortgage. The AG says, quote, totally innocent.
I visit Norfolk quite frequently. My family is in Norfolk. I love my family, and I will defend these charges, and I want everyone to know that it is completely baseless.
James has repeatedly clashed with President Donald Trump and his administration in court. She and her allies call the fraud claims political retribution. The AG is scheduled to be arraigned next Friday. Lily Cologne speaks to WSHU about her journey from a Bronx orphanage to Radio City. That story is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Next time on The Pulse, when you're paying attention to a lecture, your brain will get tired after a while. That doesn't happen when you're looking at nature.
So you don't often hear people say, oh, I can't look at that beautiful waterfall anymore. It's just too breathtaking. I'm just too tired looking at it.
How understanding different types of attention could help us focus better. Saturday at 1 p.m. on WSHU Public Radio.
One of the East Coast's largest oyster festivals is taking place on Long Island this weekend. More than 150,000 people are expected to descend on the town of Oyster Bay. Volunteers will be on hand to collect empty oyster shells. They're cleaned and returned to the ocean as part of the town's shell recycling program. Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin out-fundraised Representative John Larson in the race for Connecticut's 1st District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives this quarter. Bronin raised $1.2 million and Larson just over $800,000. The three other candidates in the race trailed them both by far. East Hampton is expected to spend more than $27 million over the next 30 years to fortify Montauk against coastal storms. The money is only 15% of the total cost. State and federal money is expected to cover the rest. The plan still needs approval from the town board. AAA is warning drivers to be extra careful on the road because it's deer mating season, which often leads to some erratic behavior in deer, meaning they're more likely to end up on the roadways. Last year in Connecticut, there were nearly 400 crashes involving deer between October and December. That's nearly one every 6 hours. The corruption trial of Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont's former deputy state budget director continued in court in Bridgeport yesterday as Costa Diamantis took the stand. The New England News Collaborative's Eddie Martinez reports.
Costa Diamantis is accused of soliciting bribes in order to approve construction bids for schools throughout Connecticut. But he testified on the stand he never used his position as a state official for any unlawful purpose. He says the money that other witnesses and the federal government said were bribes were actually consulting fees. Diamantis also denied influencing another defendant into hiring his daughter for a job. Diamantis could face decades in prison if convicted.
That was Eddie Martinez reporting. Tomorrow afternoon, the Palace Theater in Waterbury will hold its author talk, I Wrote That. The featured speaker will be Lily Colon, and she has a story to tell. It begins with a childhood in an orphanage in the Bronx and goes all the way to Radio City Music Hall. WSHU's Randy Kay spoke with Lily about her life and her memoir, Lily, the First Latina Rockette.
One day, the orphanage took us to Radio City to see the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in those red velvet seats and looking at something that was such perfection in a world that was not perfected at all for me,
right.
I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to be in a perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
I just set my sights on being a professional dancer. And then I went to audition for the High School of Performing Arts. I didn't have any leotards and tights. I had a pair of gray sweatpants and, those white kid sneakers.
Right. Oh, this sounds like a movie in the making for sure.
Ooh, I hope so one day. So then I said I was going to go auditioning, and the nuns were totally against it. I mean, they didn't expect a little Catholic girl to take up a dance career, but they let me go to the audition thinking that I wasn't going to get it anyway, so let her go. So I went. And I got it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got it.
So you lived in the orphanage, but once you got in, they let you go, obviously.
Well, the conditions were if I was to be back on the orphanage grounds 45 minutes after the bell rang. They were standing there clocking me. I was able to go to the school. But the minute that I abused that privilege, then I would not be able to return to the school. So you know that I ran out of that school first thing. Catch that first train back to the Bronx. And I made it for 4 years. I did it.
Wow.
And so I was able to finish performing arts. From there, I wanted to leave the orphanage because it got a little dangerous for me. The girls were beating me up. I had to leave, but the orphanage wouldn't let me go. And I was 17 and a half now.
Oh, so not until you're 18, right? They couldn't let you go.
Not until you're 21.
What?
Until you're 21. You have to be in school in order to stay in the orphanage.
Okay.
So they married me off. I got married. But then I fell into a domestic abuse relationship. Mm-hmm. And I was getting beat up every day. Now, I had run away a lot from the orphanage a few times. What I did was I ran away from him as mm-hmm. well. And I took my little token and I took the train down to Broadway and I just sat under the marquees at the Marquee Theater and I waited for dancers to come out of the stage door with their red lipstick on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be like that one day. But then it got dark And then I got really nervous and scared because I was homeless at the time. All I had was my dance bag with my dance clothes and my dance shoes. That's all I had. And I really didn't care. As long as I had my dance clothes, it didn't matter to me what else I had.
But where did you sleep?
So I called a director that I had spoken to years before that. And I asked him if he knew somebody that I can sleep on their couch for a minute, you know. They said, wait there, I'll call you back. So I waited at the phone booth on 47th Street and Broadway across from the Palace Theater.
Back when they had phone booths, okay.
And I waited for that phone to ring. And he had found me a couch to sleep on. So I slept on that couch that night. And the next morning, I opened up the Daily News, and there was an audition for No No Nanette. And I went, I'm going to go. I had no tap shoes. This was a major tap show, which I didn't know about at the time. But it was a major tap show, and it was in the Daily News. It wasn't in the trade papers. Since it was in the Daily News and not in the trade papers, nobody knew about it.
Wow.
Five girls showed up. I was one of the five girls, and I ran up the stairs to Showcase Studios, and I got my sneakers on, and I went into the rehearsal studio, and I auditioned. This producer walked in, and she was just like stunning, lovely, gorgeous. You know, she had one of those rhinestone leashes that went to a white little dog.
Oh,
you know, the typical
gosh,
thing that you
course.
Go, oh my God, it's like so beautiful. So they asked me when we did the tap combination, they stopped me and they said, where are your tap shoes? Well, I didn't want to tell them I didn't have a pair of tap shoes. So I said, shoemaker? And they went, you know, you're going to have to work a little hard, dearie. I was like, I will work as hard as you want me to. And they only needed one girl, and I got the job.
Wow. And how soon before rehearsal started so that you could get a paycheck?
So rehearsal started right away because they needed one girl. So Monday morning, I was there. I ran to Capizio. I got those patent leather tap shoes, the cheap ones, the cheapest ones.
Yeah.
But I got them, and I went to rehearsal on Monday morning.
So, my gosh, I could talk to you for 3 hours, but let's get to the Rockettes. Tell me how you got into the Rockettes.
So I traveled throughout the country. I went to Mexico, and I lived there for a while. And then I did a lot of shows. I did TV, movies, nightclub. I did it all there in Mexico. And then I was a big fish in a little pond. And I thought, maybe I need to go back to New York to see exactly where I stand as a dancer. I did a chorus line at the Gala Show on Broadway.
Oh, wonderful.
And then after that, Menudo called. The little boy band, the little Puerto Rican boy band.
Right.
They called, the choreographer called me and asked me if I would assist him. And I said, of course. And then during that period, that first week of rehearsals, he had died. So I took over choreography. And so we opened at Radio City Music Hall on February 14th, 1984. And I looked at the hall and I thought, I want to be a Rockette. I want to be a Rockette. And so I waited for the auditions. I waited. I mean, I traveled with the Menudos throughout Latin America. And then I came back and I just waited. I had gotten Sugar Babies and I waited. And then there was an open call, which was unheard of at the time.
Right.
So I ran to the audition. And I auditioned, and it was for Can Can with Chita Rivera and the Rockettes. Well,
oh,
she was my idol at the time.
Was there any resistance to a Latina
No.
audition? No, nothing. Just
no.
Your dancing told the story.
Nothing like that.
Good.
Nothing like that. You know, I had left my contract and the coat check, and I didn't know any of the girls. I had just come to see the show, and one of the girls waited for me outside. Her name was Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
Her name still is Ginny. and she waited for me outside because she knew that I didn't know where I was going. And she goes, I waited for you because I thought maybe you needed me to help you get back. And I was like, oh. And that was the kind of love that I felt from the women.
And there is so much more to Lily's story. You can hear it all on our website, wshu.org. For
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And don't forget, you can catch a weekly version of this show Saturdays on the radio. Hear highlights from the week and a few stories you might have missed. Again, that's Saturdays at 6 p.m. on WSHU. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you tomorrow on the radio and Monday right here on the podcast.